On the Channel 5 website yesterday, I haven't checked it today, bottom left-hand corner, it just has listings of news items, and you'll see like Church in a Comedy Club or something like that. You can go there, has the full transcript and then a little box that you click on. You have to watch a 15-second commercial. Okay, you're used to this. You know what they do, and then the interview plays in the full length. If it's not at the bottom left-hand corner, you should be able to just do a little search in that box, the top right-hand corner of their website. Just enter like Church in a Comedy Club or Gateway Church. It should pop up. If you don't find it, email me and I can send you the direct link. But they did about, I think that was about 3.5 minutes, and then the whole evening news, they kept on using us as the teaser, which was kind of cool. You know, we kept on going, wow, man, this is really great. So it's good stuff, and that'll give you a chance to kind of hear some things and see some things on there as well. We're going to have our Uganda mission team come up, and as they're kind of coming up, you all can sit wherever you were going to sit. I have no idea what you kind of had planned for that. One of the things that I want to kind of share with you all is how we kind of got to this point, okay? I'm just going to kind of share with you the initial part of it, and then they're going to take us on from there. This was birthed out of our leadership team meeting back during the summer, in which I threw out some things that I said, you know, this is what I would love to see us do. I would really like for us to do some things. And I threw out, you know, I'd really like to see Gateway over the next year from that point, okay, from that summer time, to do two mission trips, one of them being international. And there was a lot of questions as to, should we really try to pull that off right now? We're not totally self-sustaining. Should we really try to do this? And I was like, yeah, I really think so. And the team came to a unanimous agreement, okay, how do we do this? And so then this team got a heart for Africa and started kind of going and narrowing that down. And it came to the consensus of the team, you know, Uganda's it. And so they came to me and said, you know, we would like to go there. And so then that is where we pushed on out. It totally fulfills what we've said from the very beginning, and that is we want you to get a vision from God and run with it. And we're going to try to support you as best as we can. There's going to be some times that we may say, that's not something right now that we're going to do, but we may do later. So it doesn't always mean that we can promote every single thing that happens, but this is a perfect example. And the church got behind it, and they were able to raise their funds and over $11,000, you know, and be able to go. And so that was just an amazing, amazing deal. One thing I will say in their benefit, it is the hardest thing in the world is to share a vision. The second hardest thing in the world to do is to share an experience. You've been there. You know this. The example that I usually give is you go on a roller coaster ride at some amusement park, and then you try to come back and explain it to somebody. And it doesn't get met with the same excitement as what you thought that you would be able to pull them into the experience. It is almost impossible because the experience is much greater for the participant than it is the listener. It's very difficult for those that'll be sharing this morning, and I know this is the most difficult part every time I've tried to share something, is trying to get across that experience and trying to get across what God taught me. And sometimes I'm kind of met with these looks of, what? You know? And so I want you to do your absolute best as, you know, as a church this morning to really enter into that and understand that they're going to, you know, be like me in the fact that sometimes words never describe the experience. And you all know this. And so as they kind of try to figure out what words to use to draw you in, that's the most difficult part, is to share that experience. So this is the Uganda mission team. Glad they all made it back. Well, most of them. I had told him if they left Dylan there, I was fine with that. Just tell me which country he was in. So who is the first one? Okay, Russ.
Hi, I'm Russ. We're moving to the light. So yeah, as Alex said, we are the Uganda missions team. I can introduce us all. This is Dylan. I'm Russ. This is Kendall. This is Jill. Jill is our fearless leader, who we definitely wouldn't have gotten there without. And we are all wearing Mzungu t-shirts. Mzungu is anyone in Uganda who is non-native. So I'm going to sit down. What else? So the layout for this morning is pretty much going to be, I'm just going to give a brief overview of the trip. There's going to be, you know, some video. So if our words don't properly convey, you know, how the trip went, you know, at least you can see some pictures and see, you know, at least what the terrain there looks like. Yes, times 1,000 words. So that's just the general layout for this morning. So why don't we just go ahead and play that video, and then I'll, you know, talk a little bit after that. All right. So just thanks to Jill, and I think Steve helped put that together too. Yeah. So just thanks to those guys. So if you're wondering who the other white guy in the little picture there was, that was Everett. That was the missionary who we went there with, and who drove us around in the Mzungu mobile. So we got there. There were, you know, a couple of very long flights. This guy had his first flight ever from Cleveland to Detroit. And thankfully, thank God, there were no problems at all with any of the flights, except that they were incredibly long and the airplane food was horrible. But we spent our first night in Kampala, which is the capital, and then we continued on the next morning at about 6 a.m. for our between 7 and 8 hour drive to northern Uganda, to Kitgum, through incredible potholes and speed bumps. The speed bumps in this country are ridiculous, by the way. First of all, some of them would be like this long, so that your whole vehicle is on top of the speed bump before you're, you know, so it's like chink, 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 chink. And then some of the speed bumps, I don't know why they have speed bumps there, but then you would drive, you would hit one, drive for about 50 feet, hit another, drive for another 50 feet, hit another. So it was literally like 150 of these in a row, 180 in a row, slowing us down for our drive to kick him even more. But so anyway, that was just one of the little quirky things about the country. Other than that, it's just general traveling around a third world country. The paved roads are a lot more potholy than the dirt in the side of the road, so you spend half of the time driving in the dirt in the side of the road. And so anyway, that was just a little bit about the drive there. You saw some of the terrain. You know, it's mostly scrubby trees and, you know, pretty flat, scrubby. Yeah. What else? So our first day in Kitgum, we spent pretty much an entire day driving and just getting, you know, used to our surroundings. And then the first day that we were actually there, we went to the market to get materials, which was, you know, interesting, but it wasn't all that difficult. You know, you just do a little bit of haggling with the people. We had a translator there, you know, to speak with the people and do a little bit of the bargaining with us. And then we went back to Everett's he was the missionary guy again, to build one of the water filters, because we had only built one of these before this in my garage. And we had run a whole bunch of tap water through it just to make sure that that we could actually build the thing. So, you know, we wanted to go through a little trial run and, you know, at least let Everett know that, you know, this thing is legitimate. But that worked out well. I think you also saw in some of the video there that you saw some of our hosts, who are truly amazing people. There were one of the guys named KK. There's Francis, Thomas, Simon. One of the ladies who was sitting in the middle one time. I think it was a particularly long drive, and she might have been a little grumpy. her name was Joyce. Maybe she was sick of sitting with all these Mzungus for so long. But anyway, so they were absolutely amazing, and I mean just seeing their pictures right now and seeing Everett's picture, you know, it brought back a little bit of fondness, and you know I wish that they were here right now so I could just, you know, say hi to them. So anyway, the first morning after we did the trial set up at Everett's, we got together for breakfast and we're sort of like, I don't really know what's going to happen today. we had no idea what the format was going to be. You know, are we actually going to do this water setup? I mean, how are we going to tie in scripture to this? What's the layout going to be? So the first one that we did, we went to this market nearby and just sort of gathered people, and it was definitely a time of weakness. You know, Dylan said earlier on stage that you know, God works through us in through our weaknesses, and that's definitely one of the things that that we learned from the trip, was that, you know, without God, we wouldn't be able to do any of this. So we just sat there that morning. We said, you know, we just have to give it all up to God, and just, you know, whatever He does is going to be so much better than what we could do. So that first setup was a little shaky, but I mean, we built from there, and we built on and got better at it. So that by the end, we were so, I don't want to toot our own horns or anything, but I mean, we were so used to it. We had done 18 of these setups by the time we were done in Uganda in how many days?
6 days?
In 6 days, some days we were doing 4 a day. So I mean, we got pretty good at it, and you know, the general day, how it went, you know, we would do breakfast in the morning at the hotel. Everett would pick us up, and then we would break up usually into two groups. You only needed two of us to do a setup, so we would take two setups and drop either Kendall and I, or Jill and I, or you know, Dylan and one of these two off, and then with a translator, and then the other team would go off to another site. And then, so we would do that in the morning, we would go for lunch, and then we would, you know, do the same thing in the afternoon, basically. And the typical group size that I think you might have seen some of the pictures there, we would have between maybe 20, 25, and about 250 people at some of the larger sites. And I would say overall, I think we talked to about 100, no, not 150. About 1,500 people overall, you know, including kids and everyone. So it was really amazing, the turnout, that, you know, just, you know, two white people and in a translator could have in a camp like this. They're like, oh, what are these people from the United States going to bring to us? So it was pretty amazing. But the general demo would go that, you know, one of us would build the bucket and, you know, the filter, and then we would start the demonstration. But to do the demonstration, you have to put the water through. The water comes out dirty the first time, so then you have to keep putting the water back through, and the more times you put it through, the cleaner it gets. So this takes a little bit of time. So then, while one person is doing that, the other can share some testimony, share some scripture, you know, talk a little bit about the scripture, this sort of thing. And for a lot of the people there, this was really the first time that they had ever heard the name of Christ proclaimed. You know, they had never heard scripture before. And then, so like towards the end, you know, you go through it, and then the water is coming out clean, and you can draw the conclusion or the analogy that, you know, just like the water started out dirty and it came out clean, the water, the filter cleaned the water, Christ cleanses us from our sins. So, you know, you go through that, and then, you know, you can talk a little bit more. We would preach a little bit. Some of the interpreters would preach, and then, you know, we would do these invitations for people to accept Christ. And it was, this absolutely blew my mind. I'd say just imagine this. We have, 60 people here right now, 65? Just imagine us doing an invitation to accept Christ right now, and 80% of you raising your hands. I mean, this is realistically what we would see there at some of these sites. So I would say overall, there were probably maybe 150 or so people that accepted Christ, not because of anything that we did, but because God spoke through us. So it was pretty amazing. I dropped my little cheat sheet here. One of the just probably the final thing that I'm going to say was again about our hosts. It was amazing the faith that these people showed. I mean, just praying with them, they were so intense in their prayers and so devoted, and you could tell how humble they were and how rich they were in their spirit. It was something that was truly humbling for all of us. So that was one of the most amazing things about the trip for me, at least. And then the goodbyes. I think there were a couple pictures there of the goodbyes. There was a guy holding a soccer ball. That was Penn holding the soccer ball. The goodbyes were pretty sad. Kendall broke down and started crying a little bit. I had to embarrass her a little bit. But I mean, it was really kind of sad. And you know, we said goodbye to the Nationals there, and then, you know, the next morning we woke up at about 5 a.m. and drove the 7 or 8 hour drive back to Kampala, and then, you know, showered, went to the airport, and then Everett, the missionary, also, you know, broke down just a little bit. You know, he left before he actually broke down, but it was a good time, and the relationships that we formed there were truly amazing, and honestly touched each and every one of us, I think. So that's all I have to say. I think I'm going to hand off to Jill here to, you know, share a little bit about, you know, some of the lessons that she learned, and then I think she's going to hand off to Dylan. So,
hello. Once again, I'm Jill, and yeah, can you hear me better? All right. And I was the leader of this trip, I guess you could say. I just wanted to share with you all how God worked through me while I was in Uganda. Before I even went there, the past couple of months have just been really, really challenging for me, and I've had a lot of struggles that I haven't experienced before. And, you know, that really kind of wore me down in a lot of ways before this trip, but I, you know, trusted God and stayed focused while I was planning this trip, and I thought that I had, like, prepared as best as I could, you know, like, I got everything done, like, things were booked, you know, I'm like, this is gonna be great, you know, like, I'm thinking I have every detail taken care of, and logistically, everything went pretty perfect, you know, when we were there, like, nothing, you know, I was like, okay, but then I got there, and the first half of the trip, when I was there, I really was struggling spiritually. I felt absolutely unprepared spiritually to be there. I felt undeserving of the opportunity that the Lord provided me with to go there, and just inept in so many ways. And I was believing these lies that I hadn't, it was like the three of them and then me, and I wasn't contributing anything. And especially as like the leader of this trip, I was like, wow, this is really messed up. Like, this is just not a good thing. And I really wasn't conveying that to the team. It was really hard for me to do that. And the only unexpected thing that really happened on the trip, for no good reason, every filter had worked up until then. Three filters in a row just kind of didn't work at all. And the common link was me in all of them. And when you're in the midst of, like, struggling with things, like, I mean, I was actually starting to blame myself. I'm like, okay, is God like trying to like tell me something? Like, what's going on? So I was secretly blaming myself for it, which was ludicrous, but you know. So one morning, didn't intend to, but I ended up kind of breaking down to the team and admitting to them just these struggles that I was having and just these weaknesses and how just I just didn't feel great about anything at that point. And I was just really pleasantly surprised to find that I wasn't the only one. And I mean, that particular morning kind of rallied us together, and it turned out to be very encouraging to me because I took a step back and I realized that despite our weaknesses and despite the sin in our lives and despite the struggles that we had, they didn't matter. Despite those, God gently turned that around and used us for his good. And it was a reminder to me how little this trip was about the four of us and what we were doing and how much it was about God and what he was doing in that area. And I think I was just blown away by the fact that we were all having these struggles and we still managed to have God use us and share the gospel with other 1,500 people while we were there. And that was just a really beautiful thing for me. It really changed my perspective on things. And I think it's one of the greatest lessons I've learned since starting my relationship with God. Just how, no matter what, God will work, you know, for his good. And that he loved us, you know, loved me, loved us so much, despite all of these things, that he was still going to use us, and he still gave us that opportunity. Sorry, I'm just trying to make sure I'm not leaving anything out. but I was just going to give one of the main examples of how I was reminded by this when I was there. It was the second to last day of our demonstration, and I think we had done like 16 by then, 15 or 16 by then. And, you know, this particular day, I was not feeling it that much. I think that after that many, I was kind of tired. I mean, each demonstration easily is 2 hours long, and it's 2 hours of this intense spiritual energy and this like physical exertion because it's 95 degrees and humid and you're just like, wow. And so I was not feeling that enthusiastic and I was tired and we were in the car going to the site and it was going to be Dylan and I doing the demonstration and, you know, I kind of got maybe that he was kind of tired too. You won't admit. But I just like didn't have a good energy about it. And so I just remember I just kind of bowed my head and prayed to myself. I'm just like, you know, God, not feeling it so much. And I just prayed that God would give me the energy and the words to speak with these people and to reach these people. And that demonstration ended up being the highlight of my entire trip in Uganda. A lot of the stuff in the middle is kind of a blur. I don't really know exactly what came out of my mouth. I think I just kind of talked. And it was absolutely incredible to me that at the end of this demonstration, when they asked if anybody would want to accept Christ into their life, there was something like 24 or 25 out of, I don't even know how many people were there that day, who raised their hands. And I was just kind of blown away, and I just felt incredibly blessed that the Lord had used me as a tool to reach these people. And it just really touched me, and it made me realize that it was nothing, obviously, that I had done because I was tired and I didn't really feel like doing it at first. But it was God working through me. And I felt even more blessed because I've been on a previous mission trip, and it was solely to do evangelism. We weren't serving anybody in a physical way. I've shared the gospel with many other people here. And I hadn't yet been blessed to see somebody accept Christ before my eyes, and I guess by God working through me specifically. And so to be in Uganda and to have this huge group of people in front of you and to see them raise their hands to accept Christ because of what God had done through me, I was just incredibly touched. And it just once again reminded me how little it was about me. And so it just turned out to be an incredible experience. And, I came home that night after that demonstration, and I was like scanning through some old scripture I had, and I came across this scripture I'd written like months and months earlier, and it had a new meaning to me. And so I wanted to read that to you guys. You guys don't have to look in your Bibles, but if you want to, it's page 977. it's just 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And so it says, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." And that just kind of made me laugh. I was like, yeah, it's kind of true. And it just really, it really touched me. And from the beginning of the trip, and how horrible and just not ready for any of this I was, and at the end of the trip, when I could stand in front of a group of 250 people and proclaim God's love for them and God's love for all of us, I had no one to commend except God. And so I think, you know, as we had said earlier, seeing God work through our weaknesses was one of the biggest things that we were able to see and feel and experience when we were in Uganda. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I know that what happened there, as far as, you know, the lesson learned of just giving it to God, you know, just trusting God and knowing that it's not by our own power, that's going to stay with me, and it's, you know, and it's only going to make my love and my dependence on God grow even more. So I just feel very blessed. So I just wanted to share that with you. But that's all I have to say. I will pass this down to Mr. Dillon.
It's actually my first name. I have what? I got water everywhere. For the record, when I sat down on a cup of water. And I kind of wanted to go over there, but I wasn't going to get up and walk because I'm soaking wet right now. That's all I got to say about that. Only me, indeed. I've already introduced myself once today, but for the record, I'm Dillon. I'm on staff here, and it's pretty exciting. And like I've explained previously, I'm an awkward person. I think a lot of what I have to say to you guys is just a lot of echoing what these guys said, and just how completely different I feel right now than the day that I left for this trip. It is absolutely insane. I guess from the very beginning of my involvement with this trip to up to this point, it's just been an insane roller coaster of I don't feel like I've gotten off the ride at all. They kind of started off with these guys. They did a lot of the initial planning, and I wasn't really involved at all. I knew that. I mean, I thought it was cool. I've always wanted to go on a missions trip. Haven't had the opportunity. Well, I have had the opportunity, but never took advantage of the opportunity. I always let things get in the way. And I think in a lot of ways, it wasn't a distrust, but it wasn't an active trust in God to actually get me there. I knew that there was no way I'm coming up with, you know, $1,700, $2,000 on my own to go to Africa or to go to wherever else people were going. So just kind of how I got involved in it was, it was just the way that God seems to work with me is one day he'll just slap me in the back of the head and say, go here, which is an adventure in and of itself. But I just kind of was sitting thinking one day, and I'm like, I want to help lead the missions trip. So I kind of just emailed Alex and was like, hey, I feel like I want to be involved in the missions trip in a pretty significant capacity. Yeah. And I think that was basically the email. And he's like, all right, well, go do it. So I did. I think he got in contact with these guys and was like, hey, Dylan's interested. So I started meeting with them. And just throughout that whole process, it was just the beginning of a transformation in me. What am I trying to say here? I think I've just been completely awestruck by God and the things that he's done in this team, in my life. And just even getting there for me was amazing. I feel like I had a lot of just trust and faith throughout this process. When we're like, are we going to have enough money? I'm just like, I feel like we're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. And things like that where just he's been majorly increasing my faith, majorly just kind of doing an overhaul on my heart. And I think that just if I could paint a picture of myself before this trip and after this trip to you would swear it wasn't even the same guy, except for the awkward mannerisms and speech. I think that was something also that impressed me while we were there. Just I wasn't sure what I was expecting going into it. I knew we were going to do water filters. I knew that was going to be fun. I wasn't sure if we were going to even, like, do, like, preaching, presenting a gospel invitation message. I knew we would tie it into our little gimmick of, oh, we make the water clean, Jesus makes us clean thing. But I think even that, for me, throughout the trip, I think a lot of that was a start for me from the beginning of the trip. Once I kind of grasped the fact that we were going to do the water filter and then straight up preach the gospel, like, that terrified me. It's not what I do. I don't preach. I don't do this. I do music, and every once in a while I'll try to share something in between, but it's just something that I've never felt real comfortable doing. Just because of, I guess, just knowing myself and knowing my limitations and never really knowing how to give that to God. Something he decided to teach me in Africa. It was absolutely amazing. So the first couple times, like, we would be doing a demonstration and whoever was doing it with me, I'd be building it, and, you know, it's a real easy role for me to take is, oh, I'm going to build the water filter and then let you guys talk. But then they would go, so do you want to share something? And I'd go, yeah. 30 seconds later, I'm just sitting here going, like, counting down in my head to when I would let a word come out of my mouth. And once I did that, once I got over that hill, I'm getting all raspy. The one I didn't crush. Much better? Hey, okay. So it would legitimately take me like 30, 40 seconds to work up the nerve to open my mouth and talk about Christ, to talk about Jesus and the things that he has done for me. And I even kind of shocked myself in that. I'm like, if God has done these things in my life, why aren't I just, wham, this is what's happening to me, and I think you need this because it's amazing. And just kind of what I want to convey to you is just, I mean, you see me now, I'm talking and doing this, and kicker, I don't know if you guys read the blog or not, but they decided that Russ and I were going to preach on Sunday morning at church, straight up give the message, and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, it was two different churches, but even so, at one point we thought it was just one, and one of us was going to preach, and we were debating back and forth who's going to do it, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think Dylan should do it because it'll be good. And I've had the feeling for a while that I want to start talking, that I want to start doing less singing, more speaking, more being involved in an array of other things. But I think that my natural tendencies are, as far as in my mind, are not conducive to that. So then we found out Everett was supposed to pick who was going to do it. So he said Russ was going to do it. And then we found out, I was like, phew, but I was also like, dang. And then we found out that, oh, wait, no, we're going to two different churches on Sunday morning. So he's preaching at one, I'm preaching at the other. And it was just really amazing just knowing the opportunity that I had, knowing the ways that it was absolutely going to stretch me, and just going for it, I think, was something that was a real breakthrough for me. Just getting in front of these groups of people and just proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming what Christ has done in my life, and just kind of letting God lead that, because like Jill was talking about, and just through our weakness, through the things that I know that I'm not naturally good at, and how God took that and spun it and did something awesome with it, I was just like, okay, this is I kind of got a taste that morning of what it feels like, and I'm like, this is a good thing. Like, God can accomplish whatever he wants to through even somebody like me, who's just this crazy suburban white kid from Cleveland, Ohio, who really just kind of sucks at life. It's true, man. It's true. In a lot of ways, I don't. I mean, I'm pretty popular and cool. Sometimes I throw myself off. So what I'm trying to say is just seeing the things that God was capable of doing between us, and the breakthrough that I had that Sunday morning when I kind of just had to step up. You got to man up, and you got to bring the word to these people. And just a lot of what I said to them was just the faith that I saw in them, the passion that I saw in them, the sincerity that I saw in them is something that I oftentimes find a real lack of around America, in the American church, and just I think that a lot of that has to do with even just the comfort and the things that we enjoy as Americans, and the lack of that there. They don't have the luxury of thinking that they can do it on their own, which is something that really just inspired me. I'm like, I can live over here, okay. I'm fine. I mean, I don't need God to have a comfortable life in the United States of America. I do need God to have a meaningful life. I do need God to do something that's bigger than myself, that's bigger than sitting at home playing video games until I'm 30 years old, maybe have, you know, a moderately attractive wife and some bratty kids. I don't know. But it's things like that get me in trouble. and distract from my point. So what I'm trying to say is in order to become something bigger than what I am, in order to affect more people, to change the world, essentially, I think that that's something that we all want to do. We all want to have purpose. We all want to make an impact and not just simply live and die. And I think that, that life is really short, and it's real easy to do that, especially in America. And just the way that I saw that their hearts, the way that I saw that they grasped the love and the majesty of God in a way that that you could just see it in their eyes. I'm like, I want that. And I think that, that that's a pretty universal thing. I want meaning and purpose, and even to a degree that, that I've never seen in myself. Not that I don't have it. I mean, I've been a Christian for a while, but just the inspiration and the just the awe that I experienced there was life-changing. And so from Sunday morning, I'm still trying to work something out, still trying to say something smart in a way. And so Sunday morning went pretty good. I think I just told them, wow, you guys are amazing me, and we're here to bless you, to encourage you, to tell you that you have brothers and sisters around the world that care about you, and that's why we're here. We're here to help you. We're here to make an impact in your community that will help you further your ministries here. And just, it was a really encouraging time, but that evening we did a demonstration at the church. And somewhere between that morning and that afternoon, I decided I'm done trying. Like, even now I'm kind of trying, which is why I'm saying stupid things. But I decided that I was going to let God do whatever he wanted to do. And so I built the filter, and Jill kind of talked for a little bit, shared her testimony, shared some scriptures, and then something just happened. I started talking, and I kept talking, and people were nodding, and I'm like, I finally just let go and gave this thing to God and said, okay, I'm fully aware of my depravity and my inability, and you take this and do something with it. And the result, I think, was the most fluidly, the most clear and very purpose-driven thing I've ever said. I mean, I just flowed well. I got my point across. People understood, and I think it really just connected with a lot of people. And afterwards, I prayed. We did some stuff, and we were in the church, so I knew a lot of them were believers. But I knew that there were people who just walked in while we were doing it because it was pouring rain. I don't know. Because it was, and we were under a tin roof. And so through all these things, through the rain, through the tin roof, it was pouring, through just everything going on, I gave it to God and spoke with clarity and conviction, and it was amazing. And I just kind of looked at Jill afterwards, and she looks at me and goes, where did that come from? And I was just like, I don't know, I just gave up. And I guess the stark contrast between the first time I did it, when I was taking 30 seconds to work up my nerves to open my mouth to say, okay, so we say, like, the filter makes the water clean, Jesus makes us clean, Jill wants to share scripture with you. From that to, I mean, literally just flowing and preaching to these people for, I don't know, 15 minutes, half hour, it could have been 4 hours for all I know. I was in my own little world of loving God at that point just because of what he was doing. Just seeing the radical transformation of when I was still trying to do it and when I let God do it. And I think that that is something that is very applicable to even in our context in America, just the things that we naturally want to do for ourselves, the things that we naturally do on our own, even the things that God does anyways that we don't attribute to him, it was just a real reality check for me, and I think it was something that, that I was supposed to bring back. And just sort of the inspiration I got there is very much carrying over into this life. I feel like there are a lot of things that I am still learning. I mean, God is completely just reworking my heart, and I think I'm very glad that that's the way he works, because I know that on the exterior, I'm still, like, a crazy wreck of a kid. I mean, I'm this 23-year-old kid who stopped going to school, who's just, you know, all this stuff. And I think that God has really changed my heart, and it's beginning to come from an inward change to an outward thing. And I'm just really, I think, ready to step up in a lot of areas and start doing a lot of crazy things, which I think is going to be awesome. I mean, Alex was talking about, I don't even know if that was last week at this point, when I butchered the song about being a fool for you. Very much a lesson that I learned over there is just giving up what I think will save face, giving up what looks good, and doing what is good, even though I may look like an idiot doing it. Prime example, last night, I decided, I got these friends, right? They live in Minerva, Ohio. It's kind of hickish. Not really. It's just kind of, you know, the good old boys down in Minerva. So the thing to do there on Saturday nights is square dance. Everyone goes to this little building. I don't know what it is. It's just this dancing building. And they square dance. You got 5 80-year-old guys up on stage with a guitar, an accordion, a banjo, and a bass. And they square dance. So a couple weeks ago, I'd gone to do this. I just sat on the side while all my friends were having fun. Just like three of us just sat there staring, just completely scared. Like, I'm not going out there like, come on, it's so fun. I'm like, no. Not going to happen. So I sat there for 2 hours and watched them. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll totally do it next time, fully intending to never go back. As I just said, I went last night. And even in something as simple as that, I think that God is giving me a lot more courage. And that was just kind of an analogy, an example to me, is as I sat there still, I mean, and this time it took me the 30 seconds to work up my courage to do it, I definitely brought a wingman. I was like, Dirk, you're coming with me. He's like, mm-mm. He came. He square danced. And so just when I got out there to do it, I looked like an absolute idiot. Like, none of us knew what we were doing. We had a square of, I don't know if you guys have ever seen square dancing. It's insane. Like, go watch it on YouTube or something. I've got it on my phone, actually. I took some video, and my friends were making fun of me, but I had to document that. And just being able to step into that and realizing that once I did it, even though I looked like an idiot, I was having an amazing time. Like, I left that place going, wow, that was a lot of fun. And I think that it's just a picture, it's just an image of what God can do when we're willing to be a fool, when we're willing to do something crazy, when we're willing to just let him take control and to speak through us, to do things through us. It's just amazing. And that was really kind of just a long-winded way of saying one thing. But I think it's a very important thing. And it's just the transformation that I've seen in myself and even in these guys, just the way we functioned as a team, the way we functioned as individuals and how effective we became in letting God use us was absolutely life-changing, and I'm still dealing with that right now. Just sort of to the point of I really just want to encourage you guys to seek experiences like that, to seek things that will take you out of your comfort zone. I mean, I was a continent away in the middle of Africa, not doing anything I was used to. And the effect that it's had on me has been absolutely beautiful.
So I think that's one of the main things that I want you guys to take away from our experience. Not necessarily that you have to go a continent away. I mean, we are in the very early stages of trying to piece things together. And like Alex said, he wanted to do 2 missions trips. And we want to start thinking about getting another one going here stateside that would just be a little more accessible to you guys who can't go to Africa for 2 weeks. I absolutely understand the logistics of that are very difficult to work out. So to that end, I just want to encourage you guys to seek experiences like that, to look at me, to look at these guys and see if you can see a difference in us, if you can see just at least me transforming. And just these guys have been absolutely amazing, and I just thank God that that we had the team that we did. It was really good. We said it multiple times while we were over there. We can't imagine what this trip would be like if there was anyone less or anyone more on it. I think it was very, very good the way that God worked that out. But just looking to the future, I think we are going to try to get some more stuff going. And definitely just forming more of a structured missional mindset that we can get things together and that we can go do crazy things like this that have not only impact on people wherever we go, but also a very deep and meaningful impact on us. So I want you guys to take that away and to look for that in us and in yourselves. Just look for opportunities to do something a little out there, to do something out of your comfort zone and just kind of see what God does with it. I think that's something that I learned real big, is just go for it, and I think God will take that little step that we take, that little faith that we have. And legitimately, I feel like mountains were moved while we were over there. They were so warm, so thankful, so grateful for us being there. For the record, they send the warmest, biggest hello and thank you back to you guys for supporting us, for being there for us. We thank you guys so much for just everything. I can't imagine a better group of people behind us as we went and did this thing. Just absolutely been floored, all of us, by just by the financial support, by the prayers that you guys had. I am fully just confident that had a major impact on our trip and our effectiveness, and the things that happened to us was everybody praying for us. Like I don't think I even have a firm grasp on how many people were praying for us. It's insane, and we thank you guys so much, and we just really want to thank you and love you guys for that. But like I said, we're planning more stuff. We're not sure who's going to be heading that up or what we want to do with that. We're, you know, meeting with Alex, things like that, and we just really look forward to what we as a body can do here for other people through missions and in our own lives. I said a lot, but I'm still kind of speechless. Why I said the same thing a lot. But we just want to thank you guys so much. I think, Alex, do you have something clever to say, or I don't know. Do we even want to do a song after that? All right, well, we're going to close in prayer, but thank you guys so much for listening to me ramble, and we just love you guys, and cut. There you go.
Let's give our mission team a round of applause for everything that they've done. They were incredibly organized. That goes back to leadership. And one of the things, you know, that I heard when Jill was talking, and I thought, you know, now that's an example of true leadership, is to be able to be vulnerable. And that's a lot of times not what we usually think of leadership, that leadership always knows where everything is heading and you've got an answer for everything. If you've ever been around anybody who has started a company or, you know, been in that mode, they will tell you very quickly. A lot of times they have no idea. They're just having to make their way through. And when Jill said, you know, from that point in time, and the team agreed with that, from that point in time it changed, that's all about leadership, you know, and being vulnerable. And so I commend the team on being vulnerable to each other and saying, you're right, I don't know what I'm doing either. And that's good, you know. So I want to say a prayer for them and also a prayer for Uganda. We're looking at making that more of a strategic partnership that would probably be a yearly track that we go back over there and continue that work. And because we have missionaries there on the ground that we support financially and through prayer. And so you're going to start hearing more and more about that partnership as we kind of move forward. I'm going to say a prayer for us. Huh? Yes, they said, please come back. And so I want us to pray for that this morning. And I'm going to hand it over to Jason to do a couple announcements. And then we'll be done. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, I just know how encouraged I am and inspired I am. And I also know I've been in the same position that they've been in. And that is to try to take an experience and try to put it into words. And it's impossible. There is no way to adequately do that. And so, but Lord, I think that this morning we've heard their hearts, and that was the most important part. And so, Lord, we just pray right now for the people of Uganda who's just been through a lot. And we pray for our missionaries there on the ground that we're supporting and how we can strategically partner with them, not just to give people something, but to empower them. And Father, I know for this team, they saw that firsthand, that people were just kind of hanging around waiting on the next food thing. And when even asked, you know, that when are you going home to farm? And just the response being, well, when the food runs out. And Lord, I just thank you that this team went with the mindset of how can we empower people? Not just what can we give to them, but how can we empower them? And Lord, now then they know how to do the water filtration. They know how to do all of those things. And so, Lord, I just thank you that they had the right heart and the right mindset. And we just thank you that as Gateway Church, we were able to give. We were able to pray. We were able to do all those things and send this team out. And so we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.